Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, we have breaking NFL news that we've got to get to before we get back to Craig Heist for some Nationals talk. Just put up a story about an hour ago on my site at SI. Talked about it last hour. Actually, over the last hour and a half, a little bit here and there. Kevin O'Connell, the former Redskins offensive coordinator, not going to the Eagles. That's a victory for the Washington Redskins. However, he is staying in the conference. He's joining Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams as their new offensive coordinator. So, you have that. They had a run game coordinator, a pass game coordinator. Now he's the offensive coordinator. I don't know exactly how they're going to do all that, but that's the breaking news right there via Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport as well. So you have that. All right. Let's get back to Craig Heist, who's at Capital One Arena for a good one between the Atlanta Hawks and the Washington Wizards, as he just updated you on the score. Things not looking great right now for the Washington Wizards, but Heisty is known as well and as much for his Nationals coverage. He is our insider, our reporter, whatever you want to call him. He's at every home game. Also the host of Nats Talk Live. You hear him conducting interviews with players from the Nationals live on the Nationals radio network from near the dugout, especially, of course, after a Nationals win. He knows this team better than anyone, and Nats Winterfest is here this weekend. Again, 106.7 The Fan will be broadcasting live both tomorrow and Sunday. I'll be a part of that coverage. I'm sure Heisty will stop on by if he's coming out. Heisty, how are you, my friend? What's going on?
Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good. So are you excited for Winterfest, or is this kind of like, I'll get excited when pitchers and catchers report?
Well, you know, that's the best words in all of sports is pitchers and catchers report. So we're about 4.5-5 weeks away from that. But, yeah, Winterfest is always great. Gives the fans a chance to interact with the players and have a whole bunch of fun activities out of the ballpark. Last year, we were in the team store. I don't know where we're broadcasting from this year.
We're going to be at the team store.
Okay, good. I won't be there tomorrow. Got a show to do up in Baltimore, but then also have a Ravens playoff game tomorrow night. And then on Sunday, I will be at Winterfest. Byron Kern and I will be doing a show from 12 to 2:30, I think it is.
Oh, so you're Sunday. You're following me and Tom Levero on Sunday.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right, so that's good. So you will have that. All right, I wasn't sure who was doing that show. That's great. So Craig Heist will be there live on Sunday afternoon. And again, I'll be there tomorrow from 12 to 2 live and beyond that. And as well, Sunday morning with Tom Levera. All right, so Heisty, let's get to it. Trey Turner avoids arbitration. He settles on a deal. I know Michael A. Taylor got his deal done. Joe Ross. Mike Rizzo has been a busy, busy camper between the moves he made last weekend, getting all these arbitration-eligible players locked up. It's been a lot of little moves, but certainly a bunch of moves kind of securing, I guess, the short-term immediate future for the defending World Series champions.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. There's still a third base hole to fill. We don't know how that's going to go yet. Is Josh Donaldson still in play? I believe he is. There's still a lot of time between now and the time spring training starts, Chris. We'll see what happens. Full squad workouts start on February the 18th. The position players report on the 17th. Pitchers and catchers report on the 12th. So, I mean, that's how close it is. And that's one of the interesting things for me looking at it from the standpoint of this team going all the way to the World Series and winning it all last year and playing until the last day of October. So you go longer than you would normally do by at least 3 weeks, maybe four. And now how do some of the players react and come back after having a shorter offseason to prepare? Remember what happened last year with the Red Sox and their starting pitching, and they came off the World Series, mm-hmm. and your management decided that they were just going to not work them that hard in spring training. It's going to be very interesting to see exactly what kind of system is laid out by Dave Martinez and the coaching staff in terms of, number one, the starting pitching, but also the position players, just to get them ready for when the bell rings. And it rings a little earlier this year, last week of March. So it'll be interesting to see how they budget their time throughout spring training.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's a great point, because you do have to be worried about the extra toll their bodies and their arms and their shoulders and their elbows took by going so much, especially the starters in October. I mean, we saw Patrick Corbin, we saw Steven Strasburg, not only the extra starts, but the extra relief sessions in October. I would guess, I don't know if we're going to get an answer, maybe, again, a gradual easing in. But then you have kind of this remade bullpen, Heisty, where, and it's not totally remade, but obviously you have a chance here to have a pretty good 7-8-9 setup like most great teams have, where they really invested in the bullpen, bringing in Will Harris and also re-signing Daniel Hudson and already having Sean Doolittle and some of the other guys that they have already, i.e. Tanner Rainey, Hunter Strickland. They brought back Roenis Elias today. Also Wander Suero. I mean, they have, I guess on paper, a much more, I guess, sure thing in the bullpen. So maybe they won't need the starters as much as they did last year in the regular season and the postseason.
And when you think about Will Harris, I mean, here's a guy with filthy stuff, Chris, who, yes, everybody knows that he gave up the home run to Howie Kendrick in Game 7. But, I mean, you ask anybody around this league, and for as long as Will Harris has been around, you know what kind of a quality reliever you're getting. That said, to bolster the bullpen the way Mike Rizzo has done it in this offseason, I think that you think back to last year and all of the bullpen issues they had going through the year, and let's face it, in the postseason, and I always tell people, to win it all, you have to be good, but you also have to have a certain amount of luck. We saw in the postseason how they stayed away from a lot of different guys in that bullpen, mm-hmm. for the most part, and did use the starters in relief. But you can do that in the postseason when you have the extra days off for travel and things of that nature. But I don't think they wanted to risk going through the same type of thing this year that they went through last year with the bullpen. That said, we'll see how it all works out. But I feel very confident going into this season that this team, again, is going to compete for the National League's Eastern Division title. If not, that's certainly a wild card. And, again, some things have to be worked out at third base to figure out who replaces Anthony Rendon. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be Josh Donaldson? Is it going to be some of the parts that they already have? We'll have to wait and see.
Craig Heist with us from Capital One Arena at a very, very loud Capital One Arena by Hawks and the Wizards.
Well, there's a reason for that, because the Wizards were down 6 a little while ago, and now they lead by 5, 98-93.
Well, there you go.
And with 4 minutes to play, so we'll see what happens. And now I'm looking at it. They're 6 in double figures for the Wizards, and Jordan McRae has 24 to lead the way. He is 8 of 23 from the floor. So, again, a little bit better defense here in this fourth quarter allows them to translate that defense into offense on the transition end. They're running up and down the floor a little bit better this fourth quarter.
Good for the Wizards if they can hang on here. One or two more things on the Nationals, Heisty. You mentioned Donaldson. I know we don't have a decision here. I know the Nationals are still alive in this thing. Do you, if you were a betting man, would you say Josh Donaldson is more likely to return to Atlanta go elsewhere or come to Washington? What would you say is more likely?
Well, I don't think any of the teams have come up with that $110 million offer that he is looking for over 4 years. So that said, I know he did like things in Atlanta, but I also know that there are some national players kind of knocking on his door and saying, hey, look, this isn't a bad place to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. You know, I know he's been down in Atlanta 2 years. The one thing I'm worried about with a four-year deal and a guy his age is the fact that, there, you know, he has been injury-prone in the past. So, again, going up to Toronto and then coming back to Atlanta, you know, staying on the field, certainly an issue. And keep in mind, too, I still think Ryan Zimmerman gets done. I've had some people ask me that over the last couple of days, you know, how worried am I that Zim is not going to come back? Well, I guarantee you, Zim's going to hang it up if he doesn't come back.
Right. So. Well, right. Well, you know, and I was thinking I was going to ask you, so I'll wrap it up with you on this. Wouldn't a perfect time to announce that Ryan Zimmerman is coming back would be this weekend, right? When all the Nationals fans are there engaged. I don't know if they can work it out, but I mean, you know, like you said, it's a pretty simple situation. It's either he plays or he probably retires, and I would think this is the perfect stage for that.
Well, it's a perfect stage for it from that standpoint, but the other part of it is, too, if there's a way, and it looks like the plantar fasciitis thing is behind him, but if there's a way that he can stay on the field and play 120, 130 games is what I'm thinking, those numbers are going to be there at the end of the year. There's not a question in my mind about that, because that's what we've seen throughout his career, is that if he can stay healthy and stay on the field, you know, he's going to put up numbers that are what we expect out of Ryan Zimmerman. I'm hoping it gets done, and I'm hoping that, and I just don't think for this year, I think for next year as well. I still think Ryan's got a couple of good years left in him if he can stay healthy.
Greg Heist from Capital One Arena, where the Wizards are now up 7, 102-95, with 3 minutes left to go. Heisty, look forward to seeing you on Sunday, pal, back in your element. Good job tonight on the updates from Capital One on what looks like, hopefully a Wizards win over the Atlanta Hawks. I'll see you on Sunday.
There you went ahead and jinxed it. So.
Uh-oh, sorry. My bad.
I'll see you, Chris.
I'll see you on Sunday. That's Craig Heist at C Heist Sports. He covers the Nationals, the Capitals, the Wizards, the Ravens, the Redskins. I think he'll be in Baltimore tomorrow night working national coverage for the Ravens and the Tennessee Titans, as well at Nats Winterfest tomorrow, Sunday afternoon, following me and Tom Lavero at noon. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Jay and Haymarket, hang in there. We'll get right to you. We'll get you an update on the Wizards and the Hawks. We'll do a little more Nats Winterfest. We'll mix it up with the NFL playoffs. Still lots to come over the final 45 minutes of Lay Radio program here on a Friday night.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's like the Wizards are going to hold on for the win. They'll host the Utah Jazz Sunday afternoon at 3:30. The Wizards 110, the Atlanta Hawks 101. Now 111, 101, 25, and change left in that game. So it looks like a good win for the Wizards. All right, let's continue a little Nationals talk here. Why don't we? We're talking about the Nationals and Winterfest coming up this weekend. Again, 106.7 The Fan will be broadcasting live from the Nats team store starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning with Nick and Tommy Lavero. I'll be on after them from 12 to 2, and I'll be staying past that to do some interviews on Saturday afternoon. So again, probably from about noon to 3-ish, somewhere in that range, I will be at the team store interviewing players and coaches and broadcasters and all that stuff. And then as well, Sunday morning, I'll be back with Tommy from 9 to noon. And then you heard Heisty and Byron Kerr, our two baseball guys, coming up starting at noon on Sunday. I guess, and I believe it's until 2:30 or 3 o'clock or whatever. I think it's 2:30 for the NFL pregame coverage that we'll have for you here on 106.7 The Fan on Sunday. And who knows, maybe we'll get a Josh Donaldson announcement at some point this weekend. I doubt it. Not necessarily from the Nationals, but just some clarity as to where he's going to go. Well, this could take, I mean, it's January 10th. I mean, as we saw with Bryce Harper, could take until the end of February. I mean, these guys like to just stall, and they know that they have multiple bidders and multiple suitors. So they just sit there and they stall and they hope that somebody gets desperate and drives up the price a little bit and wants to get it done and wants to secure their services. That's a tactic you can use when you have multiple suitors. You know, because a lot of people think, well, if you have multiple suitors, maybe one might pull out or one might spend the money elsewhere, but not everybody's going to. Not everybody's going to. Let's get to Jay in Haymarket on the Fan. Hey, Jay, how are you?
Hey, Rooster, how you doing, man?
What's going on, Jay?
Quick question for you. So I know we're chasing Donaldson, but with the Cubs and Chris Bryant agreeing to arbitration, does that mean we still can't make a trade for him? Is that a solid, it's a deal, you can't have him now?
No, as far as I know, there's no collectively bargained rule that prevents them, now that they've reached an $18.6 million one-year deal, once that contract is signed, I still believe, I'm trying to check it just to make sure, I still believe that player can be traded. And I'm trying to come up with an example or trying to just confirm that you can still do that. I mean, they still have the grievance, right? That they're trying to figure out. I think after the grievance is settled, and they say ESPN, Jeff Passan says it could be settled within the next 2 weeks. Once that is settled, and teams know whether he'll be a free agent after this upcoming year, meaning this 1 year that he just signed for, or 2 years from now, that will change some things. So
we could still take him at the 18.6.
Yes, I believe I haven't seen anything that precludes once he signs that contract, again, that they agreed on, they avoided arbitration, and maybe the contract is already signed, I'm not sure. Now, they don't have to wait for the grievance to be settled, but quite honestly, any team worth its salt that is considering, the Nationals, maybe others, that are considering a trade for Chris Bryant would be very smart to wait for that decision to take place. Because again, if you know you have then Chris Bryant under team control for two more years, I mean, obviously you're going to have to pay him more than the $18.5 million next year, assuming that he has, you know, an even reasonable type year, but you still know that you have him for at least 2 years. But if the grievance comes out and he wins and he's only under team control for one more year, I don't know if he gets traded. And if he gets traded, I think the compensation package that the Cubs can get back for him is a lot less than if the Cubs or Major League Baseball wins the arbitration and therefore he's under team control for two more years.
Gotcha. Now, I just know that we were talking about possible trades with the Cubs for him. So when they agreed in arbitration, it was like, can we not get him? Can we still get him? But
yeah, it's expected according to Passan that he's going to lose the case.
Right.
So which would mean he is under team control with one more arbitration eligible year after this upcoming year. To me, at that point, right, if you lose out on Donaldson, I'm hesitant to necessarily make that trade in general, just because of what you're going to ultimately have to pay him, along with what you're going to have to give up for him. But I would say this, if I knew I was going to get him for two more years, and if I knew that I only had to give up, say, let's just say Carter Kieboom, who I know I talked to a baseball scout, a buddy of mine, who feels he's going to be a really good third baseman at some point in his career, if not sooner than later. But if you give up Carter Kieboom and say, and say one other medium level prospect, just use that as the page, and maybe it's going to be more. I'm guessing it'll probably be more. But I could live with that. Because, I mean, I'd still rather not give up any assets, and therefore I'd still rather go with the free agent route. But here's what I know, that to me, Chris Bryant and even Nolan Arenado, who it appears that teams are chasing and that the Rockies are dangling, because they're younger than Donaldson and they're less of an injury risk than Donaldson,
you got to take
them. Yeah, I would. That's what's kind of tempting me on those. Normally, I would be a go for the free agent route because you don't have to give up any player compensation. But right. I do get worried about that. What is he, 33 going on 34, whatever he is, to me, and an injury history.
Yeah.
I know he was healthy last year, but he's got an injury history. I get a little worried about that. So I'm a little bit more split and torn on what they should do. But here's what I would also say is, you know, if you have, you lost Rendon, you have the resources still, even though they've improved their bullpen, you have the resources because they've been methodical in how they've added and spent their money this year, meaning there was no Patrick Corbin. You have the resources to take on a two-year controllable situation with Chris Bryant. It's not like, oh, my God, how are we going to do this? I mean, obviously, we know that they budgeted, you know, 4 years and, say, roughly $100-ish million for Donaldson, right? So they're willing to do that. They have to be willing to do that for Chris Bryant. Now you say, well, wait a second. Are we better off giving up a prospect or two and not being stuck long-term with Josh Donaldson and getting Chris Bryant? And who knows how that'll go, but at least we can control him for 2 years. Or are we better off not giving up the prospect or two and going with the less sure thing, I guess, in Donaldson? It's a tough decision, but I would probably lean towards the younger player, the less injured player, and the less on the hook situation, which is what Chris Bryant would be.
As long as he can play.
I'm sorry?
As long as he can play.
Yeah, no, Chris Bryant can play. I mean, if he's on the field, he can flat out play. He's one of the best young, you know, I mean, he's been great for the Chicago Cubs. He struggled a little bit. He struggled a little bit last year, 31 home runs, I think it was, 78 RBIs or something like that. But he is a damn good player. I know he got hurt at the end of the year, but it wasn't a major injury type thing. So, I would go there. Jay, I got to let you run because we are way late for the break. But good call. Appreciate it. Wizards win. Here's Craig Heist with the latest from Capital One Arena. Starting at 9 a.m. with television's Nick Ashew. Newspapers, Tom Lavero. I'll be with you from noon until 2, live right here on The Fan. And then after that, I'll be staying around. We're going to conduct some more interviews that Tommy and I will play back, at least one of them, I can tell you that much. I can't say who it is, but, you know, there'll be some big names stopping by all morning and afternoon tomorrow in the Nats team store, and Sunday. So if you want to listen to 106.7 The Fan, get your Nats fill in. And if you're in the ballpark, if you're at Nats Winterfest, an easy way to listen is on the radio.com app. And if you don't want to listen live, what can you do? Well, if you miss any part of our coverage from Nats Winterfest or any of tonight's show, you can go to the radio.com app, any phone, any mobile device, and you can simply use the rewind feature and go back up to 24 hours, rewind at the touch of your finger on the radio.com app so you can listen to all of our interviews. And, you know, if there's any breaking news, obviously we'll have it from a Nationals perspective there. Again, some big-name players and some coaches and all that. Stopping by, members of the World Series champion Washington Nationals from 9 a.m. until just about 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at the Nats Team Store. If you're coming down to Nats Winterfest, and of course here on 106.7 The Fan, the radio.com app, and as well Sunday from 9 a.m. again until about 2:30 or so with Craig Heist and Byron Kerr, and I'll be there with Tommy in the morning from 9 until noon. So make sure you stop on by, and if you can't stop on by, make sure you're listening to get your fix of World Series champion coverage of Nats Winterfest. All right. So, wanted to get to this. I saw this story, and I found it interesting. It was from Wall Street Journal Sports. So, as you know, LSU, number one football team in the country. Joe Burrow, they're going to New Orleans from Baton Rouge. It's essentially a home game on Monday night against Clemson for the national championship. Not that Clemson is far away from there, but, you know. So, crap. I didn't realize this. They're making me sign in, and I can't figure out my Wall Street Journal password. Oh, crap. I had it earlier, and for whatever reason, my thing didn't. Oh, because I restarted my computer. Okay. All right, so here's what we're going to have to do. This is live radio, boys and girls. So here's the deal. Okay. The LSU faithful, according to the Wall Street Journal, drank nearly 55,000 beers at one home game this season. A school record. Now, again, that's not tailgating outside. 55,000 beers. LSU Tiger Stadium, I think, roughly has about 90, 95,000 seats, I think, roughly. So that doesn't seem like that much, all things considered. But remember what you're drinking outside of the stadium. That was a school record, though, for sales, according to the Wall Street Journal and Wall Street Journal Sports. However, the very next game, they set a new record by 5,687 more beers. 60,687 sold beers by the concessionaire, because that's the only way they can track that, right? I don't know if it was drafts. I don't know if it was bottles, cans, whatever. I can't crack the story link right now. 55,000 beers almost was a team record. The next home game, they not only beat it, but they smashed it by another almost 6,000 beers. And that's just what you buy in the damn stadium. And I know, and you know that I know, that when you go to a football game, especially a college football game, especially college kids who have nothing to do and have way too much time off, what do you think they're doing? They are getting there, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning, setting up their tailgate or drinking in their dorms or whatever the hell they're doing. And they're getting loaded before the game. That's what you do. Everyone knows this. You don't buy beers inside the stadium. That's dumb. That's like buying $8 pound ground beef. That's dumb. Stupid. Stupid is, stupid does. You drink the beer outside the stadium. You get lit up. You feel good. You feel a little toasty. Things are swirling around. Much cheaper. Much more fun. And then you buy a beer inside the stadium to top it all off. Just to keep, you know, your buzz semi-strong. Say, you know, end of the first quarter, midway through the second quarter, because the lines at halftime are way too long. Right? So you strategically kind of plan it out. You have your last beer outside the stadium before you go in. You go in right before kickoff, or, you know, 10 minutes before kickoff, 15 minutes before kickoff. Then you go get that extra beer. Maybe you squeeze in a beer and a half or two, depending on who you are and what you are, because we know that if 55,000 beers were sold, it's not 55,000 people, different people buying 55,000 beers. And obviously, some people are buying 2-3 beers, you know, per person or whatever the situation is. But there's a lot of drunk people at LSU games and a lot of drunk people at football games. But there's a lot worse ways to spend a fall Saturday than going to watch, you know, a great football team in a great football environment, especially when they have a night game at LSU, and having a couple of cold brews and enjoying yourself, right? It's an experience that, quite honestly, I have not been able to experience enough of because I've either been working. Like, I've been to Notre Dame 3 times. I've gotten to see Michigan, Notre Dame. I've got to see Notre Dame, Florida State, and Notre Dame, Tennessee. But all 3 times I was under a press credential, so I couldn't really drink. I saw Michigan Northwestern once at Ryan Field at Northwestern University, primetime game. Again, working, couldn't really go. When I was in college, though, 1991, Beaver Stadium, Penn State, State College, Pennsylvania, number 1 Miami, and number 4 Penn State with my 2 boys. That was a weekend. Oh, man, my liver took a pounding that weekend. That was fun. But I don't remember drinking that much in the stadium. It was drinking a lot the night before, drinking that morning, drinking after the game that afternoon, drinking that night, drinking the next day, and then it was back to school. That's what it was. All right. Come back, put the icing on the cake next. We'll warm it up, get you ready for CBS Sports Radio right here on The Fan. But the Steelers, though, and the Penguins.
Any Pittsburgh team.
Yeah. Ooh. And I said, you know, so he texted me a couple of things. He's like, we're listening, say hi to Janelle, you know, and just said, Janelle said, get with it, the Penguins, the Steelers. And I said, ha, ha, ha. I said, I just called you out, but I said, I love you. That's true. I said, whoever it is, I'm sure I love you, but I can't answer the phone. I'm on the radio. Oh, man. Anyway, one Redskins coaching thing, it looks like, and I heard this last night, but I wasn't 100% sure if that meant for now or if that means moving forward. Not sure yet still on this, but it looks like Randy Jordan, the Redskins' longtime running backs coach, or longtime as much as anybody, is longtime in the NFL. He's been here since Jay Gruden was hired in 2014. It looks like he's going to stay. That's not official yet. I know he's still working. I know he's still in the building. The Carolina Panthers apparently blocked an interview request that Ron Rivera had to meet with Jake Peets, who was their running backs coach last year, who was actually a Redskins kind of low-level assistant in 2014, Jay's first year, and ironically, again, that first year for Randy Jordan. And since then, he's gone on to be like a quarterback's coach. I think he was with Jack Del Rio in Oakland as the quarterback's coach, if memory serves me correct. And Peets apparently is not going to be let out of Carolina because he worked directly with Christian McCaffrey. And y'all know how that worked. So the Redskins tried to get him, but apparently they will settle on, apparently, unless something changes, Randy Jordan for right now. We told you about Kevin O'Connell going to the Los Angeles Rams. Listen, it's not as good as the Cleveland Browns, meaning out of the conference, but that's much better than in the division with the Philadelphia Eagles. And just to be clear, I was not the one that was reporting that he was going to the Eagles. The Eagles were one of three teams. I wrote a story saying, hey, if he goes to the Eagles, that's bad news for the Redskins. And I wrote the reasons why. He ultimately decided to go to the Los Angeles Rams. I don't know what happened with the Eagles. I don't know what happened with the Cleveland Browns, other than the Browns don't have a head coach yet. But he decided to join Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams. Now, I can't remember. I don't think he was with McVay here in, because Sean was only here through the 2016 season and very, very early, obviously, in the calendar year 2017. Maybe Kevin was on that 2016 staff as a lower-level assistant. I can't honestly remember. I would have to double-check. But here's the deal. Everyone knows. Everyone knows that Kevin O'Connell is a good, young, bright coach. And obviously, with Sean McVay, they now make up two Hollywood starlets. And on top of that, because they had a run game coordinator and a pass game coordinator, now they have a true offensive coordinator. I don't know what they're going to do with the other two guys. One of them is a former Redskins assistant, Shane Waldron. But they have a major, major, major project on their hands. How to salvage and how to improve Jared Goff in that offense, because they paid a ton of money to a bunch of guys that are not producing. Gurley, for whatever reason, the health, the knee, the preservation, whatever, and clearly Goff is not anywhere close to being the same without a really effective Todd Gurley. So Sean McVay making some coaching staff changes, adding Kevin O'Connell, subtracting Wade Phillips. We don't know about Joe Barry yet. Apparently Joe Barry was going to meet with both McVay and the Rams about the defensive coordinator spot because he's been the linebackers coach and assistant head coach. That would obviously make sense there, even though you people, for whatever reason, think he's a clown. You're wrong. But you can think he's a clown all you want. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. Wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. So apparently that might happen, and or he could wind up back at his alma mater, USC, as the defensive coordinator there, because it was Clay Helton's the head coach. Clancy Pendergast, I think, was the defensive coordinator recently, but they blew him out. So you have that situation. So you have coaching, ex-Redskins coordinators, one recent, one not so recent, on the move. You may have Randy Jordan staying because they couldn't get Jake Peets out of Carolina. So you got a lot of twisting and moving and all of that stuff going on around the Washington Redskins. As always, check me out, si.com/NFL/Redskins, part of Redskins Maven. And also we have lots of Redskins coverage for you at thefandc.com. NFL preview, Sean, is coming up next. Is that right? NFL preview. And then CBS Sports Radio will take you through the late night and the overnight. And I'll again be back with you at noon tomorrow afternoon, live from the Nats team store. Tom Lavero, Nick Ash, you get us going at 9 a.m. from Nats Winterfest. Thanks to Sean Summers on the other side of the glass. Always good to talk to my guy and work with my guy. Thanks to everybody at the Entercom holiday party who probably are not bringing us any leftovers. Hope you guys all had fun. Hope you guys were merry, bright, cheerful, joyful, and buzzed. Just don't do anything stupid. And don't lose all your money at MGM. I'm sure you want to spend some money. Just don't lose it all. All right, we have to get out of here. Sean, I forgot the exit time, so I think I'm right now, right? Yes? Maybe not?
30 seconds.
Oh, okay. I screwed up. I thought it was 57:10. I'm sorry. I screwed up. I just didn't want to keep talking and ruin things. So I've got about 20 seconds that I've got to meet up. Nice hat, Sean. Nice hat. I like it.
Appreciate it.
I like it. You're my guy. You know that. Again, Nats Winterfest coverage beginning at 9 a.m. Make sure you stay tuned. If you missed any part of the show, go to the radio.com rewind feature. Go back in time. Listen to the whole show. Listen to me screaming at landfill. Good night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.